So hello everybody, it's Fabian from The Friendly Anarchist, and I'm here in this new at work interview meeting Michael Knobs from Sustainably Creative. And Michael's a well-known illustrator working from Wales, and I'm really looking forward to talk with to Michael about his approach to work and how does a normal work day look for him. So first of all, hello Michael, glad to have you here.
Good morning, Fabian. Thank you for asking me.
No, it's an honor. It's an honor. So maybe to introduce yourself a bit to the people that might not have seen your work already, could you explain a bit what is the kind of work that you do most of all and how many different areas of focus do you have?
Okay, well, I run a website called Sustainably Creative, and there I write about trying to be creative despite having limited energy. I have an illness called chronic fatigue syndrome, which means each day I only have a very limited amount of energy. So over the years, and it's been about 15 years now, I've learnt to kind of work at finding ways of working most efficiently and as focused way as possible to get as much done as I can with the energy I've got. And kind of my creative output is that I draw, and I've been drawing for about 10 years now.
Wonderful. So it's basically these two things that you're doing, writing and drawing. This is like your main focus, right?
That's right. Yeah.
But then also there's an element of connecting with people, I suppose, connecting with the audience.
Yes, I suppose. I mean, the blog really is kind of about reaching out and connecting with people who are in a similar situation to me. They're either people who have limited energy, perhaps because of illness, or perhaps they're just, like a lot of people, limited in terms of time because kind of they're having a busy life, but still want to find a little bit of time to be creative. So I'm kind of reaching out to people in that position, and hopefully showing that it is possible to live a creative life, even with only a little bit of time or a little bit of energy.
Yeah, and I really love that approach because I think that's actually something that many people struggle with, right? They think they have to dedicate like 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day to their creative work, and if they don't do it, they feel like a failure. But I think it's not the way it works normally. You will probably find a bit of time here, a bit of time there, but you can do, like, accomplish a lot of things with that small amount of time, right? Or small amounts of energy as well.
Exactly. I think if you're kind of ready for when that time or that energy arrives, then you can kind of get a lot done. It's kind of being prepared, I suppose. It's kind of accepting, I think, the way things are and kind of working around that.
Absolutely. So how do you normally like tackle the day? Do you have any specific time at which you normally get up, or do you have like an outline, a whole outline of the day, a schedule, or do you rather like look how you feel and then decide upon what to do depending on your energy?
It's a bit of a mixture. I do tend to naturally wake up quite early. I often wish I didn't. I often wish I could sleep later. I wonder if I did, whether I'd be more rested and have more energy. However, I do wake up early, and I start the day every weekday by recording a podcast. It's called the One Thing Today podcast, and it goes out to members on my site. And in that, I generally pick one thing that I'm going to do each day, and that's kind of my focus for the day. But when I do that one thing, beyond the podcast is generally fixed in time. It's the first thing I do in the morning. I get up, I come out to my studio, I record the podcast. But the one thing that I choose to do kind of happens if and when I've got the energy for it.
So it's really like you really make the decision in the morning.
I do. I try to. That's kind of the aim. It doesn't always work, but that's my aim for the day, yes.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And you said you have a studio, so do you live at a different place and then you go to your studio, or is it like in your house?
It's in the garden, so it's not very far away at all. It's round the back of the house and up a few steps, so it's not too far.
Okay. So by which time normally do you get going?
I'm usually out here by about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's pretty early.
It is. These days, it does vary, but these days I wake up at 6:30. Okay. So I have quite a slow morning kind of getting myself together, usually drinking tea and kind of doing a few, pottering about and doing a few things in the house. And then I kind of aim to come out here for about 8 o'clock.
Sounds good. So this already like is a bit of a routine that you have created there, right?
It is. I mean, that probably is the only real routine of my day, I think, is that kind of first bit. And I often I often try, and I kind of would like the idea of extending that routine out a bit, and I am experimenting with that a bit at the moment because it would be quite nice. What I've found, I've been recording the podcasts for about 18 months now, and at the beginning, they were quite a struggle, but they've just become a normal thing that I do every day, and it just works. And I'd like to kind of add something else to my day that works in a similar way, if that's possible. I don't know whether it is possible, but I'm experimenting a little bit with that at the moment.
So what is your current experiment?
I'm trying to have a kind of about 40 minutes a day when I'm just concentrating on some writing. Usually up till now, my writing has happened as and when in a very kind of unscheduled way. I aim to send out a couple of, I aim to write at least one blog post a week and send out a couple of email letters a week. The letters are every 2 weeks, so one letter, a different letter every week, so that makes sense. However, they kind of, the schedule for those is very flexible and changes quite a lot, and I don't get stuff done as much as I'd like to. So I'm trying to be a bit more focused and a bit more specific about that at the moment.
So this is basically like a limited amount of time, like these 40 minutes that you really block and you switch off everything else and only focus on the writing?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I've made very good experiences with that. I once wrote about it, called it the do nothing alternative, which is basically like the rule is that you don't have to write, but you're not allowed to do anything else.
That's a very good idea. It's not something I don't think of it in those terms, but actually that is a good.
For me, it's helping actually, because it's like I have this hour and the hour is really reserved to writing, but sometimes I struggle with finding a good start, and then I get nervous if time is passing and I'm like, oh, you haven't written, and I don't feel good about it. But if it's like, if there's no alternative and I don't have to think like, oh, I should be doing X or I should be doing some other stuff, then I can just sit down, look out of the window and really get a bit calmer, and then after 5 or 6 minutes some ideas will come to my head and I'll just get going and the writing will come out naturally.
Yeah, I mean, I think I tend to sort of cajole myself. I use a timer quite a lot. I set it for 20 minutes and somehow setting that timer kind of creates the kind of the space, I suppose, for the writing to happen. And even if I come to it with very little idea what I'm going to do, I do find that it does. I usually come up with something. It's just kind of starting. Once I start, usually something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And the timer thing, for example, is also something that's pretty popular among many people, like people that use the Pomodoro technique.
Yes, yes.
Like working in these bits of 25 minutes. And I think it has gotten so far that even the app developers who have developed like timers to use for this Pomodoro technique have included the sound of the clock ticking, like the kitchen timer, so that you really like get the same feeling. And a friend of mine who's a big fan of the Pomodoro technique, he tells me that he really needs the sound of the clock that it's for, to make it work.
Yes, I like the ticking timer. Someone emailed me a while ago and said, does it bother me, the sound of my timer ticking? But it doesn't. It's quite the opposite. It's quite comforting, I think, but it also kind of lets me know time's passing. So it kind of keeps me focused, I think.
Perfect. So this is basically your ritual to find focus then, that you really like sit down with the timer, or let's say you begin the day, of course, with the recording, which is, I'd guess, one ritual also to find focus, because it really helps you to get clear about the thing that you want to do over the day.
Yep.
And then to sit down with the timer in order to really focus on nothing but the writing, let's say.
Yes, that's kind of sums it up. It's kind of grown out of over the last few months. I've been working on kind of the biggest project I've ever done, which is a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work on it every day. I had no choice because I had a deadline that was set by somebody else, so I had to work on it. And even though I had this kind of deadline, I didn't really have a defined space during the day for it, mm-hmm. which in the end became quite exhausting. I was really exhausted by the time I'd finished it. So what I'm trying to do now, I think, is actually make a point where I know I'm going to be working, and I know when I've done that, I'm stopping. Rather than it being this kind of thing that kind of just can fill the day, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes it's better to have like a specific moment and maybe a specific trigger to get working with that. Because if not, I personally sometimes have experienced that it can take like as you say, the whole day, and I don't really get to it until until very late in the day, which sometimes isn't the best moment. I mean, I like to work at night, but still, depending on what it is, it might not be the perfect moment to do it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, so kind of. It's kind of like claiming that time for yourself, knowing what's best, what the best time for you is, and actually claiming it and making use of it, I think. Well, it is for me anyway.
So, do you already have like a moment of time where you want to do the writing, like in the morning or in the afternoon? Do you have thought about that? Or
I do know that I'm much better. The best time for me in the day is the morning. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm usually very tired in the afternoons, and I mean, so I do have a kind of okay time in the evening too, but I kind of like to keep that free for you doing other things, I think. I'm very, very bad, or I have been very, very bad at kind of defining space between work and fun and life, really. I think even though I don't necessarily work a lot, my head is kind of always, or always has been, kind of focusing on work. And I'm trying very hard to kind of make space that isn't work. And accepting that, you know, even with limited energy, I kind of have to make room for all these different compartments of my life, I think.
Absolutely. And you talked about the timer, and of course, you're very known that you always like have a good cup of tea with you. Anything else in your work environment that's really important to you, like in your studio?
My sofa is really important. I sit on my sofa an awful lot. It was last summer, I've got a really old sofa that used to be in the house. And last summer I covered it. And it's just a really nice place to go to. I go and sit there quite a lot. And I've got a television out here too, which is quite a new thing. so I kind of, you know, during the day, if I spend a lot of time out here during the day, an awful lot of time spent out here is actually spent sitting on the sofa, maybe watching television or maybe reading and not actually working. So it's kind of a place I can rest. And then when I can work, I can kind of, the studio is kind of in two halves. There's kind of my workspace at one end and my sitting around resting space at the other end. So I kind of move between the two during the day.
So like with the illness that you have, how normally, like, to get a better idea, let's say, is it like, does your energy come in waves, or do you sometimes have a whole day without energy and then a day with a lot of energy, or how does it, is there any kind of I don't know, can you calculate with that, or is it really getting you by surprise?
I think if I'm careful about what I do, mm-hmm. which I'm often not, which is my problem. Even after years of this, I kind of boom and bust quite a lot. If I'm careful, I probably can predict quite well how I'm going to be, and I probably could have quite a structured schedule. However, I tend to overdo things quite a lot, which means I spend quite a lot of time recovering, which means my energy is very, very unpredictable. So I've kind of found that I do have this sort of baseline of what's possible, and I try to only plan stuff within that kind of baseline of what's possible. So even on bad days, perhaps not the really worst days, but on kind of bad days, I can still do a certain amount of stuff. But of course, my holy grail is to kind of have this perfect balance where I don't overdo things, and I can kind of have this timetabled life that works well. But I'm beginning to think after a decade and a half, that's probably never going to happen.
Yeah, but there are different ways of approaching this as well. And I think you've found quite a few approaches that work for you, right?
Yes. I mean, I function quite well in the world. Certainly, this is my dilemma, and has been for a while. In terms of work, I think I do function quite well in the world now. I'm kind of, you know, creating an income for myself that kind of supports me. Mm-hmm. However, the other kind of half of life, that kind of fun, socializing, enjoying life, is kind of, I find quite difficult to make time and energy for properly. It's kind of the thing that's left over at the end.
And that's interesting, because I think that's also something that many people who maybe don't think so much about this kind of stuff forget, that like the social and the fun part in life, as much fun as it may be, it still also requires energy, right?
Exactly. Yes. I mean, there are some things I do, I suppose, that perhaps do feed my energy, but I think they're probably few and far between, to be honest. I think the truth is, fun costs energy. And and there's only a limited amount of it. So it's kind of making that choice. And a few years ago, I kind of did decide to focus on creating an income, mm-hmm. in the hope that I can kind of create an income that is in many ways kind of is automatic, I suppose. It's kind of a passive income is my ultimate aim. Mm-hmm. So I can work when I can, but there'll be money coming in on a regular basis, kind of based on work I've done in the past, if that makes sense. And I kind of am, slowly building that up. So maybe when I'm, you know, when that is much more in place, there'll be more time left over, more energy left over for kind of enjoying life. But, yeah, at the moment I do find that there isn't really enough energy left over for making life as pleasant as possible.
Yeah. I hope that, this idea of creating this passive income base will work out fine. I think, one important, I don't know if it's the most important, but at least one important part of your income comes from the membership area that you offered. So I think this is a really cool offer for many people, because how much is the rate right now for a month or for a year of membership?
It's $5 a month, but it's either paid as $15 every 3 months, or there's it's $45 for a year. So either 3 months or a year can be paid for.
So you get a discount if you sign up for the whole year, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and basically, so the heart of it is maybe the forum, I think, and the recording that you send out each day to your subscribers.
Yes. I think the kind of the podcast is kind of the cornerstone of it. But yes, there's a forum which members can chat in, and members also get my courses, my online books, my e-books for free as well now. So
yeah, which is a really cool offer for many people, I guess.
I hope so. Yes,
absolutely. So, but then I'm thinking about this, like, so you're building this community, and you have like people, like let's say more and more people who also get in touch with you and have questions and exchange ideas and whatnot. So, as the site keeps growing, it also costs you more energy, right?
It does, though. Kind of my aim behind it was that it wouldn't actually. My input in it wouldn't need to grow in relation to the number of members. I mean, some things do. The forum, for instance, does. The forum gets busier. There's kind of more. I need to respond a little more. Mm-hmm. But I do tend to kind of block my time around that. I mean, I try and visit twice a day in the morning and in the evening, and spend maybe an hour kind of reading posts and responding to posts during the day. So I'm hoping I could be reasonably strict with that, even when things do grow, or as things grow. And other stuff, of course, it doesn't take very long to send out 1,000 podcasts, and it doesn't send out 100 podcasts. So a lot of the stuff I do doesn't necessarily grow in relation to the number of members.
Yeah, that's true, of course. So, and when do you normally do your illustration work, your drawing work?
Well, that again, much like fun, the kind of my drawing has kind of taken a bit of a back seat recently, especially working on the book. I mean, I had to make drawings for the book, but kind of drawing for pleasure, kind of drawing my life, which was kind of the thing I used to do all the time. Yeah. I just don't make that much time for anymore. And it's something else I'm thinking that I really want to kind of get back to. But it's making space for that and kind of having the energy for that. I'm missing that quite a lot, and I'm kind of thinking a lot about that at the moment.
So the book that you made now isn't so focused on the illustration, but it's more a written book with some illustrations to make it more beautiful.
No, the book's called Drawing Your Life, and it's basically to encourage people to draw their lives. And it's made up of some writing, but an awful lot of drawings, and an awful lot of space for people to make their own drawings in the book as well. So it's kind of an interactive book. I mean, it's a paper book, so it's not interactive in terms of technology, but it's kind of a book you work in.
That sounds wonderful.
I hope so. I'm quite excited about it.
So when will it be released?
It's the 5th of March next year, so a little while yet.
Okay, but basically it's now like your part of the deal is done, and now it's basically the publisher who has to
exactly.
get it printed.
It's someone else's problem now, which is very good. I'm very pleased about that.
So what tools do you use to help you get things done? Let's say, on the one hand, I suppose like the actual drawing. Are you using a drawing tablet or?
I use my iPad mostly now for drawing. I use an app called Adobe Ideas, which is a very very simple drawing app. Basically, you can draw lines. And you can colour and not much else, so that's very good for me. There's kind of no complications to it. So, and it's really easy to export as well. You can export PDFs, which can be then rendered at any size. So it's really useful for publishing purposes. A lot of drawing apps I've tried, you can only export at 72 DPI. Mm-hmm. bit technical, but which means you can't really print stuff, whereas this means you can render the PDF at any size you like, and then it's perfectly possible to print from. So it's really, really useful for me. So I use that quite a lot when I draw.
So you created basically the book with your iPad?
I suppose I did, largely, actually. The writing, I probably did, I don't know, I use, what's it called, notational velocity. I kind of keep all my notes in notational velocity. And I sometimes, if I'm writing something longer, you can kind of edit stuff from notational velocity in AI Writer, which I use quite a lot. Somehow, I can't remember how I did it now, but somehow notational velocity syncs to simple note on my iPad, so all my notes miraculously appear on my iPad.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can write on my iPad too.
Yeah, that's pretty useful, right? Do you have any other, like I don't know if it's a getting things done or a calendar or some kind of... do you keep a schedule, or do you normally like try to avoid having too many appointments, or how do you deal with that kind of stuff?
I do generally avoid kind of time-based appointments because I find knowing that I've got to be ready to do something at a certain time quite difficult. I kind of have to know my energy is going to be okay, and sometimes I can't. So that can be a bit stressful, I think. So I kind of keep those sort of things to a minimum. And I'm experimenting at the moment with my iPhone. There's the Reminders app on the iPhone. And I'm putting everything I do into that, so I kind of get reminded every day of the kind of the basic things I need to get done each day. And the advantage of that for me is that I don't see my really, really long list of things I need to do. I only see each day. I kind of get presented with the two or three things I want to get done that day, and that's really good for me, because what I used to do, I used to write whenever I had an idea, I used to write it on a post-it, and I used to post-its together. I'd ended up with this huge long long list of post-it, which used to make me very, very stressed. So this is a really good thing for me to experiment with.
So basically, this is I don't own an iPhone. So this is basically taking, like, the Reminders app takes the appointments or the to-dos from a calendar and then only shows the items relevant for each day. Or
basically, yes. I mean, the really exciting thing is I'm very techy and very geeky about my iPhone. I can talk to it, so I can, if I have an idea, I can just say, "Remind me tomorrow to do blah blah blah," and it will. It will do that, and it also syncs completely with my iPad and my computer, so everything is kind of there. A list of things each day just appears. So as long as the list isn't too long, and as long as I can kind of get through those few things each day, it's a bit like having an autopilot. It's really good for me. I kind of have this little list of things to do. If I do them the next day, the next things happen. And then every now and again, maybe once every month or so, I kind of look at the full list of things, the projects I'm working on, and kind of just make sure I'm on track with them. But the theory is that I will be on track with them if each day I just keep doing that little thing and I don't need to think about it too much.
Yeah, and I think you've proven that already, right? Because with the many things that you have accomplished this way, I think this is another thing that's really inspiring about your work, that you really say all you have to do is one small thing today. And if you keep doing that for a year, then a whole lot of work will get done, right?
Yes, I mean that was a really good thing for me to realize, because I used to really push myself. I used to look at other people I wanted to be like, and I used to think, well, they probably did. I used to look at them and think they do an awful lot. I can't possibly do that, so I can't do anything. And then I kind of realized, it was when I used to paint. I used to make really big paintings, and I had a friend who I shared a studio with, and she said one day, seeing me sitting there looking really depressed and very tired, why don't you start making some small drawings instead? So I got a really, really tidy sketchbook and just each day made a really small drawing. And then I realized over time that I had lots of drawings, and little drawings could build up into books, and books hopefully could build up into passive income. We shall see.
Absolutely. So so getting back for a moment to this list of reminders of things to do, the typical scenario that most of us know, the list got a bit too long. What do you do?
Well, I'm ignoring my list generally. I kind of add to it, and then each day I only get two or three things to do. So I don't. I suppose I only ever work on one project at a time, so that probably helps. I have other projects that I kind of add things to my project lists for, but I don't ever start those. Well, I have done them. Recently, I kind of made a mistake of starting two or three things at once. But I'm kind of getting back to this idea of only ever working on one thing at a time. So I suppose whenever I go back and kind of review my lists, that's the point to kind of cross things off that aren't working, that I'm not going to get to. But on a daily basis, I just don't see them, so I don't get stressed by them.
But then you do like really a monthly review or something, and then it's the moment to...
I'm saying that here with you now. I don't know if I actually schedule that, and perhaps I should actually. Perhaps I should set a reminder for once a month to look at my list. Perhaps when I finish one project, I'd more naturally go back and look to see what's next and then look at those lists for those things. I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of going once a month to do it, but I suppose, if I'm honest, I probably don't do it once a month.
You do it probably every 2 months or whenever you feel like it.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think like this is another useful habit to have, like the review. I personally struggle with doing it regularly as well, but I think it's always, for me, it's always a very positive experience to, I don't know, check off some projects, maybe also let go of some projects that wouldn't work, but also to activate some that I might have forgotten about and really get back into doing them, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I tend to have kind of, I have in my lists, I have separate project lists, and I also kind of have this kind of big bucket that just I throw ideas in as they come to me for kind of a new projects or new ideas. And I suppose that's the place where things perhaps don't get any further than that sometimes, especially if I don't look back at it. So that's the place to go to, I think, more regularly, just to check to see if that really is something I want to do. And if I do, then I need to do it, or I need to decide I'm not going to do it.
Absolutely. And deciding not to do it is also something that, at least for me, feels always pretty good as well, right?
It does. I find it very difficult. I find it very difficult to let things go, but I have learned that I have to. There's no way I could do everything I think of. So, yes. So cross it off.
Pardon?
Cross it off.
Yeah, cross it off. So do you use some kind of like text application where you keep all these lists?
Well, that's what I'm experimenting with this Reminders app for. It's possible to make separate lists, so I can kind of make a separate list for each project.
Okay, I don't understand that because I don't know the app, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a lot like a lot of other getting things done ideas. I mean, it's much simpler, and I wondered if it was too simple when I started using it. I did used to use something called Task Paper. I don't know if you know Task Paper.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But it just got just a little too complicated. It didn't do everything as simply as I wanted. And I made it more complicated than necessary because there were kind of more options. Whereas this, there's no other options apart from making a list, kind of I can make a project, and within that project, I can make a list of things to do. I can't do anything else. And I think the simplicity of that makes it much easier for me.
Yeah. And I think many people should probably think about looking into something like that, because there are those of us who spend basically more time to, I don't know, work on fancy getting things done applications than really to actually do something from our lists, right?
Absolutely.
I'm a bit of a geek in that kind of sense as well, but sometimes I find myself like, oh, I've been optimizing my software, my getting things done software for half an hour now, but I didn't actually do any work, right?
Exactly. I mean, I think that's probably... For me, I find there are times in my life when I kind of need to work on the structure, that kind of thing, that getting to know how to use something. And then there are times to forget about that and just get on with it. So you can do that for a while. You can kind of do the geeky getting to know, kind of developing a system. But at some point, you need to stop doing that and kind of move on to the actual doing it. And I think sort of the last month or two, I think I've been very much thinking about working on structure and how to kind of develop that system. And now I just need to put that aside and just trust that the system works and get on using it rather than actually thinking about it.
Absolutely. And also, we're always free to change the system later on if it's necessary, right?
Exactly.
But first, we need to get some practical experience in order to know how to evaluate it.
Exactly.
So maybe to wrap things up, so now I got a pretty good idea of your workday, actually. How do you close your workday? Like, what is the end? Do you have a natural end? Do you at some point say, okay, I'm gonna switch everything off. I'm gonna switch off my computer and that's it. Or do you also go pretty much with the flow, however it goes?
I think I probably do go with the flow. I think I am trying to kind of make a more structured end to my day. I've got a coffee machine out here in the studio, and I've just started cleaning it every day at the end of the day, and that kind of helps actually. That sort of idea, I just clean my coffee machine and go into the house. And it's also good because it's ready the next morning then as well. So that's really... So, but I mean, that's quite a new development. I think for a long time, as I think I've said, to kind of work kind of really overlapped into the rest of my life. And I think I really am trying to give it a bit of a compartment that it lives in and not let it get out too much. So I tend to leave my I've got a laptop in the studio, but it's hooked up to a big cinema display. Mm-hmm. And I used to take it into the house at the end of the day, and I don't anymore. I leave it there. And I kind of think that makes working a bit more difficult. I mean, I have my iPad in the house, which I do use sometimes, but mostly that's for play. So I kind of try and shut the door and leave. But that's quite a new thing.
So would you recommend that to other people as well, like creative types, to try and separate the work environment from the living environment?
I think so. I mean, it's, as I say, it's a very new thing for me. I've not been very good at it, but I do think there's something to be said for being a little bit disciplined. I've been thinking quite a lot about discipline recently, and I always find it very difficult to talk about discipline. But I do think, for me, it feels quite important. Otherwise, things just kind of grow, and yeah.
The interesting thing about discipline is that it has a bit of a bad rep, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And deservedly so, because, I mean, I think in history there have been too many moments where, like, discipline and nothing else have ruled the world, and it wasn't always for good. But at the same time, it seems a bit like especially creative people are really put off by anything that has to do with discipline, but once they learn to embrace it, it also gets a lot easier in their work, right?
I mean I do think so. I think I'm learning that. I think for me, a part of the problem for me was that when I first became ill, I really pushed myself. I refused to accept I was ill, and I just kept working. And for me, discipline and that kind of idea of pushing myself beyond what's possible kind of very tied up together. But I'm kind of learning, for me, the important thing about discipline is discipline within what's possible. I need to first recognize what's possible, and then I can be disciplined within that to get stuff done. And that's a bit of a revelation for me, I think. I think I need a different word to discipline. I haven't thought of it yet. But
maybe we should make a nicer word up. I think so.
I was talking
about this with Jonathan Mead once, who had this course, Pay to Exist, and he had like little lessons, and then there was a homework to do. And we were talking about this, like, anybody has a nicer name for homework, because homework, yes, is also something that many people have made bad experiences with.
Exactly.
But it's really a good idea to have, right?
I think so, yes.
So this is maybe a good task to think about a better term for discipline. Maybe any listeners who have an idea, please share it in the comments, please, or share it with Michael.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, perfect. So would you have anything else to share you'd like to share about your approach to getting things done to your workday, or shall we wrap it up here?
I suppose the big thing for me is just to keep everything as simple as possible in terms of how you do your work, and, well, basically, yes, how you do your work. Keep your tools simple, kind of keep your system simple, and then just get on with the work rather than getting caught up in complexities and friction.
And the most important thing of all, do one small creative thing today, right?
Absolutely. And drink lots of tea.
I'm more of a coffee drinker, but I also like to have a tea in the afternoon at times. So perfect.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Michael, for getting together here to talk a bit and show us a bit your approach to your workday. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome, Fabian. Thank you very much.